our part, good and faithful. After he and Gene learned God's role, Alan said, "I feel a lot of relief, but I also feel like I'm supposed to do something." And he was right. We just can't sit back and do nothing and wait for God to perform. We have a responsibility. But like Alan, we may not know exactly what our part is. God, the Master, is owner of everything, controller of all events, and our provider. Our responsibility is to be a steward. The word for steward can be translated into two different words, manager and supervisor. In Scripture, the position of a steward was one of great responsibility. He or she is the supreme authority under the master and has full responsibility for all the master's possession and household affairs. As we examine Psalm 8, verse 6, we see that God as master has given us the authority to be stewards. Here's what it says. You, God, have put people in charge of everything you made. Everything is put under his authority. And according to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, one's only responsibility is to be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. You know, before we can be faithful, we have to know what we're required to do. Just as the purchaser of complicated machinery studies the manufacturer's manual to learn how to properly operate it, we need to examine the Creator's handbook, the Bible, to find out how He wants us to handle His possessions. Now, several elements of faithfulness are really important to understand. First, we're to be faithful in handling 100%, not just 10% of our income. And unfortunately, many churches have concentrated only on teaching how to handle 10% of our income, the area of giving. And although this area is crucial, we've allowed Christians to learn how to handle the other 90% from our world's perspective, not from our Lord's perspective. And because they don't know how to handle money biblically, many Christians have wrong attitudes about money and make financial decisions that lead to, well, painful consequences. Hosea 4, verse 6 tells us, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Ignorance or disobedience to scriptural financial principles often cause money problems. Second, we're to be faithful regardless of how much we have. The faithful steward's responsible for whatever he and she has, regardless of whether it's much or little. I just love the parable in Matthew 25. It illustrates this. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. When the master returned, he held each of the servants accountable for managing his possessions faithfully. The master commended the faithful servant who received the 5 talents. A very familiar passage. Here's what it says. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." It's interesting. The servant who had been given 2 talents received an identical reward to the one who'd been given 5 talents. You know, we're required to be faithful whether we're given much or little. As someone once said, "It's not what I'd do if $1 million were my lot. It's what I'm doing with the $10 I've got." We're also to be faithful in little things. Luke 16, verse 10 reads, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Well, how do you know if a child's going to take good care of his first car? Observe how he handled his bicycle. How do you know if a salesperson will do a competent job of serving a large client? Look at how she served a small client. If we have the character to be faithful with small things, the Lord knows He can entrust us with greater responsibilities. Small things are small things, Hudson Taylor, the missionary statesman, said. But faithfulness with a small thing, well, that's a big thing. Fourth, we're also to be faithful with others' possessions. Faithfulness with others' possessions will in some measure determine just how much you're entrusted with. Luke 16, verse 12 says, "If you have not been faithful," listen to this, "in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" You know, this is a principle that's often overlooked. Are you faithful with others' possessions? Are you careless with your employer's office supplies? Do you waste electricity when you're staying in a motel? When someone allows you to use something, are you careful to return it promptly and in good shape? I'm completely certain some people have not been given more because they've been unfaithful with the possessions of others. The fifth element of faithfulness that's important to understand is that faithfulness builds character. God uses money to refine our character. Way back in 1918, David McConney wrote a book, Money, the Acid Test. In it, he said, "Money, most common of temporal things, involves uncommon and eternal consequences. Even though it may be done quite unconsciously, money molds people. In the process of giving it, getting it, using it, counting for it, depending upon how it's handled, it proves a blessing or a curse to its possessor. Either the person becomes master of the money, or the money becomes master of the person." Our Lord takes money, the thing that, essential though it is to common life, sometimes seems so sordid, and he makes it a touchstone to test the lives of people and an instrument for molding them into the likeness of himself. So beautifully said. If we are handling our possessions as faithful stewards, our character is being built. If we are unfaithful, our character is being torn down. Richard Halvorson said it really well. Jesus Christ said more about money than any other single thing because money is of first importance when it comes to a person's real nature. Money is an exact index to our true character. Throughout Scripture, we find an intimate correlation between the development of a person's character and how he or she handles money. And lastly, faithfulness leads to contentment. Once we know God's part and faithfully do our part, we can be content. In Philippians, we discover that Paul learned to be content because he knew that God would provide all of his needs and he had been faithful. So as we apply the principles of God's economy, we will begin to get out of debt, spend more wisely, start saving for our future goals, and give even more to the work of Christ. You know, the Bible offers real solutions to today's financial problems. And each of the following chapters deals with one of the specific areas needed to equip us to become faithful stewards.